Shall we turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, please? Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 13. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 8. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of this householder came, and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then are the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Will thou then, if we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together under the harvest, and in that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and turned, and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. He shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in his kingdom of their Father. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious word. I've been very interested in the Gospel of Matthew for some, perhaps, 2 or 3 months, and I've found a great deal of profit from it. It's a well-organized Gospel, quite evidently has a plan. We haven't got time to go into that this morning, but I wish to draw your attention to these 2 parables with regard to the kingdom. And first of all, I might say that I have a little disagreement with some interpretation of the 7 parables. I would like to say my own views on them. I believe that the first parable is general. And the next 3 parables, that is the sowing of the good seed and the bad seed, and the mustard seed, and the 3 measures of meal, have to do with conditions existing throughout the whole length of the age. There in the last three parables, we have in the egg what God has in His Word. He has the people of Israel, and they've been buried again, set aside temporarily. He has the pearl of good and great price. Quite elderly, to my mind, the church. And now at the end of the age, he has the good fish, which will be manifested in the coming kingdom. Now while we say that, we admit that the church age, of course, must run concurrently in alongside of these this evidence by the parables. So we wouldn't disagree that there might be coincidences with these parables and the seven churches. Nevertheless, I don't think you can fit the churches side by side with each parable. And I'm particularly interested in the what Luke calls the good and honest heart of that which was sown on the ground. And the following, son of the kingdom, which of course must be the good and honest heart, sown in the world. May I say that second parable there shows definitely the change of the age. In chapter 10 of Matthew, the Lord sends out his disciples and tells them to go among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but not to the Gentiles. But in the second parable, quite evidently, he indicates that the sons of the kingdom are to be sown in the world and not in Israel. So there's quite evidently a change of dispensation. I'm a believer in dispensations. And now we're interested in this particular individual who has the good and honest heart. We're interested in the same individual, I believe he is, when he's sown in the world. And I believe that's everyone who believes the Lord Jesus Christ and has received him as their own personal Savior. And the reason why I'm singling out this individual is because of our need today of having good and honest hearts in our assembly. Those who really understand what Christianity is. Those who are understanding what God demands of the Son of the Kingdom, or a member of the church, if you like, what God is demanding of that individual, that he should be bringing forth fruit. I believe the basic thing with regard to this is the question of what has already been prayed about, the question of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, dear brethren and sisters, we cannot live a Christian life if we are not right with the Spirit of God. We cannot bear fruit apart from His energy. So if we try to live a Christian life and we are not right in a life with the Spirit of God, then we are living not right. I believe that's what in the good and honest heart. This good and honest heart is brought about by our effort, not a bit of it. It's God's work. We'd have never believed the Lord Jesus Christ apart from that work. We thought about it in us, that heart. The wayside ground wasn't followed, wasn't turned over, and therefore couldn't receive the seed. God works upon the human heart according to His sovereign will, and He overturns and overturns till that soil is ready to receive the seed. And that seed is the good and honest heart. The Word of God in the honest heart. So we have then this individual who has the good and honest heart and is bringing forth fruit. In Matthew, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. In Mark, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In any case, they're bringing forth fruit. Now, how is it with us, dear? It says in the Ephesian letter, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And well now, if we grieve Him, then quite evidently He's not operating through us. There's a division. There's something wrong. And therefore, may I say first of all, that this good and honest heart has a right companionship in the fellowship of the Spirit of God. And the individual is bringing forth fruit, not merely attending meetings. And we can go to the Lord's table, and we can sit there for an hour, and go to the gospel at night, and then for the rest of the week, lead a non-Christian life. Isn't that our trouble today? And one of the things the apostle said quite clearly in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians was this. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then all died. That we who henceforth live should not live unto ourselves, but unto Him who died and rose again. Well, isn't that right? Isn't that a calling forth for a devoted heart, for a right life in the sight of God, not merely a moral life? You know, sometimes I doubt whether we're living a moral life. And God doesn't want a moral life. He wants a holy life. He wants a separated life. He wants a sanctified life. Now, that's the way I see this good and honest heart. An individual is bringing forth fruit, pleasing God, and that fruit, may I say that if we think of chapter 15 of John, that the Lord says, except ye abide in me, ye cannot bear forth. So you see then, the goodness on this heart then, which was produced to us, in us, when we were first saved, must be continued. What a marvelous time it was when we were first saved. How wonderful that was, how we loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were willing to do anything, go anywhere, and witness anywhere in that time. That, dear friends, as one of our brothers said in his prayer, the world has its effects and its influence. Then when we come to the individual in the sown, here we see that the individual who has believed with a good and honest heart is actually sown, not in Israel, but he's sown in the world. And in him is the word of God, which has produced the good and honest heart. Where God has sown us, or the Lord Jesus, if you like, has sown us somewhere in this world in order that we might produce fruit. First of all, may I say that the tares, while they're in the world, they're not supposed to be in the church, the local assembly. They're certainly not in the body of Christ, and they're not supposed to be in the local assembly. Denominational churches, modernist churches, of course, don't take that separation. Anyone who professes to be Christians, they receive them. And, of course, they're receiving tares, as you well know. Receiving the agents of the devil into their denominations and in their worldly churches. But as far as we are concerned as assembly, we are to see that we have no tares amongst us and not permit them. Otherwise, we have an introduced leaven. And maybe that's one reason why we have the collapse of what we call the brethren movement. Last year then, I've been now saved some 60 years. And I've known nothing else but the Brethren Assembly. Alas, alas, the awful declension that I've witnessed during those 60 years. For the whole thing rests then upon this good and honest heart. It rests upon the individual that's sown in the world and where they're sown, what kind of witness they're bearing, and what kind of fruit. Their producer. Well, now there's another thing I think we might read, and that is in the last chapter of Galatians. I'm reading from verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now Paul here introduces a new principle for our walk. And that principle is the new creation. God has planted us somewhere else, away from, as it were, Adam, and put us in Christ Jesus. And we're to walk according to that principle. So we're new creatures in Christ. Have nothing else to do with the old Adam. I'll ask you, friend, how often the old Adam has a lot to do with us? Now, I believe that's the principle we should be observed in order to produce fruit. Let us turn to Ephesians letter, please, and briefly just read one or two scriptures, and then I'll sit down. Chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. In other words, God has called us. This very thing has been planted, sown in something new. He called us to walk in this world. And this is the way we should walk. Walk according to the new principle of new creation and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. We've been brought in a marvelous place. Children of God, sons of the kingdom, if you like, have sown in this world by the Lord himself in order we might produce fruit and walk worthy of God. God grant it for his name's sake.